Well, good morning. My name is Sandy Hughes. I'm pastor of communications, and I'm super excited this morning to share what God has for us as we look at our second Sunday in Advent. And looking at that video, it sounds like we all might need a little peace in this stress-filled time of celebrating Christmas. I find it ironic that at this time of year where we're celebrating Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that we don't have peace. It's that time of year where we sing about peace, we read about peace, we see peace on Christmas cards and in our social media feeds. The world wants peace. We want inner peace. We want peace with each other. If you're a follower of Jesus, you want God's peace that surpasses all understanding. Yet in our crazy, overstressed, anxiety-filled lives, peace seems to be a word that is unattainable. Well, today's Advent candle is the peace candle. And if you think about it, Advent screams peace. Advent is nothing more than peace coming to us, peace coming into the pain, peace coming into loss or to fear, offering us peace. God came in the midst of this hurting world. Why? To bring peace that comes from realizing we are not alone. And we see this first glimmer of peace in the reaction of a young woman child who chose to believe God at his word when her future seemed uncertain. She stands firm in her faith on God's word, and she's at peace because she's about to carry peace incarnate. So if you have a Bible this morning, whether it's a physical one or one on your phone, if you would just open that to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, is where we'll be this morning. And here's how the story goes. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. So here we go in week number 2 of our series, Picture Perfect Christmas. God sends the angel Gabriel to Mary in Nazareth. And last week we heard a little bit about this angel Gabriel. He appeared to a man named Zechariah who told him he too would have a son. Yet Zechariah refused to believe. And as Mark Mitchell said that morning, the angel Gabriel pulled out his remote and hit the mute button, and Zechariah could not speak until his son John was born. Well, this week, Gabriel shows up again. This time, in this town called Nazareth. Nazareth was a no-name town. You could say Nazareth was a small town with a bad reputation. In fact, in John 1:46, this guy named Philip tells his friend Nathanael about this Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael's first response is, Nazareth? Could anything good come from there? Well, Luke then tells us that Gabriel is in Nazareth to deliver a message to a young woman named Mary who's engaged to Joseph. Well, engagement then is very different from what you and I might know about engagement. It was really broken up into three phases. Parents or matchmaker would find a suitable match, and the couple would take some time to get to know one another, get to know each other's families. And if the match was approved, they would enter into a formal agreement with a dowry. And once the contract was finalized, the couple would enter into this second stage of engagement called betrothal. And this lasted anywhere from a few months to a year. And at this time, the couple was bound together as husband and wife through a covenant that could only be broken through a writ of divorce. And at this time, the couple were husband and wife, yet did not live together or consummate their marriage. Mary was in this stage of engagement, this betrothal stage. She was waiting for the third part of engagement, which was the celebration, the big wedding party, the celebration of their vows and consummation of her marriage to Joseph. So here we have Gabriel visit Mary. And he says in verse 28, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And it's here that Gabriel greets Mary with these words of grace. If we go back to last week's sermon, we might think Gabriel came to Zechariah because he was a priest living in Jerusalem. But here comes Gabriel. He comes to an unknown town, an unknown girl, and he gives her this message. She lived in a culture where she wasn't even old enough to matter. And God extends his unmerited favor, his grace. She did nothing out of the ordinary to earn it. She was solely chosen for God, from God's grace. And then he goes and tells her about her future and who her son will be. First, Gabriel tells Mary that you will conceive and give birth to a son. This would be wonderful news to any Jewish woman because it meant that the family name and legacy would go on another generation with the hopeful outcome of the Messiah coming from their line. She was also instructed to name the child Jesus, which was a common name, and according to Matthew 1:21, he will save the people from their sins. Well, Gabriel next says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Gabriel alludes to this message that he gave to Zechariah last week about his son John being great, but distinguishes it by telling Mary her son would be the Son of God. And Gabriel says, hey, God will give him the throne of his father, David. This would be from the royal line of David. Jesus would be from the royal line of David. And it comes from the Davidic covenant from 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 13, specifically 12 and 13, which say, when your days are over, you will rest with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood. And I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Next thing he says is he will be the long-expected Messiah. This would be the most amazing news for any Jewish woman. Mary would carry the Messiah, the King of Israel. And on top of it, Gabriel tells her his kingdom will last forever. Another promise from God to David that his ancestor, Jesus, his kingdom would last for eternity. Gabriel is telling Mary that her son would be that very king. Well, that's a lot to take. And here we have this young girl, Mary. And Mary responds in fear and wonder. In the first part of this passage, we see Mary troubled by Gabriel's greeting. Like any normal person who might have an angel visit them, we see she's troubled. She's afraid. And Gabriel responds, "Don't be afraid." I don't know about this. I just can imagine Mary thinking to herself, "Don't be afraid. What? There's an angel standing in front of me. Of course I should be afraid." But the angel is there to comfort her. But not only do we catch a little bit of Mary's fear, but we also see that she wonders. Mary's reaction to Gabriel's message was very different than Zechariah. Zechariah doubted Gabriel. Mary wondered. Mary wondered what this greeting from Gabriel meant. What would God, why would God find favor in this woman child from a no-name town who really didn't matter in her culture? She wondered. Well, scholars estimate Mary to be about 14 years old. And I think of all my time in youth ministry, and I think of the many 14-year-old junior high girls that I have had the joy and the pain of working with, and I know very few who would have responded with Mary's wonder. Actually, I think today's 14-year-old girl would have got their phone out, tried to get a selfie with Gabriel, and posted on Instagram. What does Mary do? She does not pull out her iPhone. She wonders. You know, working with students is so much fun. And every year at graduation, I would tell our eighth graders, most of them 14, a few of you are sitting in this room and you'll remember this, I hope. I would tell them three things before they would go into high school. I would say, be a person of character. I would say, shine the light of Jesus in your sphere of influence. And then I would say, don't lose your wonder. You see, it's about this age at 14 that the world hits us upside our head and the wonder we used to have slowly slips away. It's like a slow fade. So after Gabriel continued to tell her her future and who this baby would be, she wondered again. She wondered, how? How will this happen, God? She was a virgin. This is a logical and a biological question. God, how are you going to do this? And I think Mary is an example of a wonder-filled faith. I think in her wonder, she knew God was big enough to handle all that she would face. We could really ask the same question to God. God, how can I experience the life of Jesus within me? Both of those questions are wonder-filled questions, and both have to do with the Holy Spirit. So Gabriel responds to Mary's question. Gabriel tells her that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her. So let's take a look at this proper use of the word overshadow. To be clear, this was not a physical sexual union with Mary and the Holy Spirit. Instead, we see throughout Scripture how the Holy Spirit overshadows. It was a term describing God's presence. We see it used in Genesis 1:2 as the Spirit hovers over the surface of the water in the creation account. In Exodus 40:35, when Moses could not enter the tent of meeting until the cloud overshadowed it, signaling God's presence. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us how a cloud overshadowed Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and God spoke to them in the transfiguration. So in the same spirit, in the same sense, the Holy Spirit will overshadow Mary. It would be supernatural. I love how Chuck Swindoll puts it. He says, God the Father, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, will bring the Son into the world through Mary. Well, just like Mary, through the Holy Spirit, we can experience the new life Jesus gives us through the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us in John 3:6, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Paul reminds us, for we are baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. Paul reminds us in Romans 8:16, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It's one of the many wonders of God, new life in Jesus. Because of Jesus, you can experience this wonder as well. You can experience a new life in Him. And story after life-changing story in this room can give testament to the life-giving truth of Jesus. And it's a wonder. Do you wonder if God is big enough to handle your uncertain future? See, Mary doesn't ask for a sign, but Gabriel ends his message with news about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And he ends with verse 37, and he says, for no word from God will ever fail. Some of your versions might say, nothing is impossible for God. Now, many of us in this room, we know this story. We get to see the big picture in the story. You might even know the end of this story. And even though Mary is afraid and full of wonder, can you imagine what must be swirling through her head? In her fear and wondering, how could she feel peace? Mary is about to experience an uncertain future. Think about your own life. Maybe you have an uncertain future, or you have some uncertain circumstances. Perhaps your job is in flux. Maybe your marriage is coming to an end. Maybe you are about to enter finals and you don't feel prepared at all. Maybe you are caring for aging parents and your future and their future is uncertain. Perhaps you're thinking, this Christmas is not going to be a picture-perfect Christmas because of some uncertain circumstances which give you cause to stress over an uncertain future. How do we find peace in that uncertain future? How do we find peace in uncertain circumstances? How did Mary find peace in her uncertain future? Well, Mary's response blows me away. Mary responds in surrender. Mary responds in complete surrender. Look at verse 38. She says, I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. We don't see hesitation. We don't see doubt. All we see is a surrendered life to God. She calls herself the Lord's servant. Literally, that's a bondservant, someone who sells themselves into slavery. In other words, Mary is willingly submitting herself to the unconditional service of God. What's impressive to me about Mary's response is that in her culture, she could have been stoned to death for being pregnant before taking her vows. She could have been cast out from her community. Mary could face the same prospect that many women face today when unfaithful men abandon them. And that would have been poverty. For sure, she would be questioned about her pregnancy story. Even Joseph questioned it. she has an uncertain future. Yet, because she had a surrendered life to God, she had peace with God's plan, even when the future seemed uncertain, because she believed God to be true to his word. Notice Mary's courage. I think verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail, or nothing is impossible with God, gives her courage to surrender. She's ready to surrender to God, even though it will cost her everything. She will risk everything to be obedient. This is how faith responds to grace. How about you? Could you respond like Mary? You know, in a time and place where we have every moment of our life filled, rushing from here to there, stressed about getting the perfect gifts, having the picture-perfect Christmas tree, the picture-perfect family Christmas card. Just once, I would love to get a family Christmas card where the kids are screaming and picking their noses. As a photographer, that's what you experience. Maybe you're stressed out about how you can afford Christmas gifts as you live month to month wondering about your future living here on the peninsula. We can often forget the life-giving peace we have through our Lord, our King, and our Savior, Jesus. Through Jesus, we can have peace with God's plan, even when the future seems uncertain, because God is true to his word. You know, it was about this time 3 years ago, Dave Vergara, our executive pastor, and I were brainstorming about this new role at CPC called a pastor of communications. And as Dave unfolded this role, I remember telling him, you need someone who knows CPC or this role is not going to work. You know, at the time, I was in my 32nd year of student ministries, 16 and a half of them here at CPC. All I've known most of my life is student ministries. And I loved all of it. I loved the messy games, the eating of crazy food, and one-on-one with kids, and when the light would go on, when they understood something about God's word. The joys and the pains, the ups and the downs, the snubs from high school kids because, you know, they're too cool now, they can't talk to you. I loved all of it. Little did I know that God would have a different plan. Shortly after my conversation with Dave, I had my own encounter with the Lord in the most spiritual place, the shower. I don't know about you, but God and I have a lot of great conversations in the shower, probably because I'm totally not distracted with anything. And I was in the shower thinking and praying about who would be in this role, and before I knew it, I heard the Lord say, why not you? I won't say what I originally said to God, but I said, are you kidding, Lord? Are you kidding? I'm almost 48. No one in their right mind switches careers at this age in Silicon Valley. And besides, what do I know about communicating? So what? The parents know what's going on. I can communicate to a few parents. You want me to communicate to three campuses and a big church? Ah, right. So for a couple of weeks, I prayed. I spent more time in God's word. And all I could think about was this uncertain future as a single woman approaching 50. Well, I mustered up enough courage, and I said, Dave, we need to chat. Poor Dave. I'm bawling in my office, telling him what I think the Lord is asking me to do. And Dave's response validated the Lord. He said, well, Sandy, I've been praying that you would take this role. And I went, seriously? You've got to be kidding me. So I walked away from that meeting, and Dave said, let's pray about it for the next few weeks. I said, okay. So I committed to praying about it more. And the next step was to go talk with the good doctor, Mark Mitchell. Mark and Dave are in my office now, and here again, I'm bawling, telling the story. And Mark's response, and this is so Mark, if God is calling you, if Mark ever tells you that, listen, if God is calling you to this new role, I think you should do it. And during that time of prayer, spending extra time in the Word, the Lord reminded me about something I always hammered into our students' heads. As followers of Jesus, our lives are not our own. As followers of Jesus, our lives are not our own. It was a reminder to me that I'm committed to living a surrendered life in Jesus. So when you all ask me if I miss youth ministry, I'm very conflicted. Yes, I miss kids and leaders, but God has called me to something new that I'm loving just as much because I want to make sure I'm living a life that is surrendered to God. I want to be able to say to Jesus, I am your servant. Use me however you need. And it's because of Jesus, I can have peace with God's plan, even when the future seems uncertain, because God is true to his word. So I followed God's lead. I trust he has a plan. I trust his word. And as I move forward, I had complete peace about leaving everything I knew for the past 32 years to follow this new ministry path. My response took a little bit longer than Mary's, I might say, but I do know this. Jesus, this baby that Mary bore, is my Savior, my King, and my Lord, whom I can trust with anything and everything. And like Mary can have peace about an uncertain future because he is true to his word. You know, Mary's story is a beautiful reminder to all of us of what a surrendered life looks like. She saw herself as a servant of the Lord, willingly offering up her entire life. And through God's grace and his word, she found peace in her uncertain future. How about you? Are you looking for peace this Christmas? Trust me, behind all those picture-perfect Christmas cards we're going to get from our friends and family, we all know that not everything is perfect in that picture. Many of us are holding on tight to things that God wants us to let go of. What would it look like to let go and trust God at his word, to receive his grace? He offers us peace in uncircumcised circumstances. What would that look like? What would it look like to say, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word in me be fulfilled. What would it look like to surrender to God's plan for your life, knowing that you are not your own, but you are bought with a price? You know, God has invited each of us to respond to his love and his life. And he will prepare and enable us to do any task that he asks. No matter what you're facing, no matter how uncertain your future looks, you can have a deep, abiding, and eternal peace through Jesus. It's my prayer that we would all respond like Mary. I'm the Lord's servant. May your word in me be fulfilled. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story. We thank you for a story of a young girl who lived a life of surrender. Father, no matter what her circumstances, she found peace in you because she trusted your word, because she knew you were good for it. And so, Father, this morning, as we take time to think about peace in what is often an unpeaceful time of year, Lord, I pray you would grant us your peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, whatever we're facing, I pray that we would let go and trust you, and that your peace would be something we can cling to, and that your word is something we can trust and cling to. Father, I pray this week that we would be men and women who would be filled with your wonder and filled with your peace. In your precious name we pray. Amen.